Turning your Bibles to Genesis chapter 27. We want to just read one verse, and that's verse 22. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he discerned him not. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we pray that you would help us tonight. We thank you for this service. We thank you for these faithful people who you put on their hearts to be here each Sunday night. We thank you for them, and we pray that you would bless them and encourage them. And we pray that you would use your word. We would allow you to use your word in our lives tonight to examine ourselves before you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight we want to come back and think again about these words that Isaac spoke. We mentioned, I think, Wednesday night that these are among the most important of the things, the words that were written aforetime here in the Old Testament for our learning. These 13 words that Isaac spoke, and I would suggest that it's not a coincidence that there are 13 words that he spoke. 13, as our pastor, Pastor Kelly, taught us, is the number of rebellion. And these 13 words, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau," are the source of so much of the rebellion in our lives as believers. So many of our failures, so much of the sin that so easily besets us, so much of the problems that we have, so many of the problems that we have in our lives can be traced to our doing exactly what Isaac did here. Isaac heard Jacob's voice, and he knew it was Jacob's voice. There wasn't any question about it. And yet, instead of going by what he heard, Isaac went by what he felt. We do the same thing. We read, we hear the voice of the Lord, hearing his word, and we know that it's his voice. And yet, instead of listening and heeding the voice of the Lord, who we know, so many times we go by what we feel, and we discern not the Lord's mind, and we go off on our own way, and we reap the consequences of our rebellion. Tonight, we want to see again how pervasive this kind of problem is here in the Word of God. Turn, first of all, if you will, to Numbers chapter 13. Now, I want to put your mind at ease. We're not going through the Bible, at least not tonight. We're going to try to pick up a little speed as we go. But it's just been so amazing to me how these words, fit so many of the things that we find here in the Word of God. How these words and this attitude of heart affected God's people. Again, it's Numbers chapter 13, and the chapter number is worth noting. That's all I'll say. In this chapter, the children of Israel have come to the brink of the promised land. They've come to Kadesh Barnea. They've been in the wilderness of Sinai for about a year, a little over a year. We learn that in Numbers chapter 10. And what has happened there is that the Lord has spent that year preparing them to live in the promised land. And he's prepared them by giving his law to them, giving them his statutes and his judgments. And then they left Sinai and they traveled to Kadesh Barnea. And Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 3 tells us that it was about an 11-day journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir unto Kadesh Barnea. And so in just a little over a year, the children of Israel have reached the border of the land of Canaan. Now with that in mind, let's read it at Numbers chapter 13 and verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. Notice the words in verse 2, which I give unto the children of Israel. I want you to send in men that they may search out the land which I give unto the children of Israel. That's the voice of the Lord. And it's the same voice of the Lord that Abraham heard in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 7, when he first came into the land of Canaan from Ur of the Chaldees. And the Lord told him, Unto thy seed will I give this land. It's the same voice of the Lord that Isaac heard in Genesis 26 and verse 3. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries. It's the same voice that Jacob heard in Genesis 28 and verse 13. The Lord said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it and to thy seed. It's the same voice of the Lord that Moses heard in Exodus 3 and verse 8. When the Lord said, I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large land. Unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. There's no shall there. The time has come. They've come to the land. And now the Lord says, I'm going to give it to you. This is the voice of the Lord. And so these men, one from each of the 12 tribes, go in to search out the land of Canaan. And 40 days later, they returned. And you remember what happened. Two of the men who went, Joshua and Caleb, we talked about Caleb this morning, they heard the voice of the Lord. They heard it when he said, Search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. The voice is the voice of the Lord. But what the other 10 men felt as they returned were the hands of Esau. They went by their feelings. They were governed and they were controlled. And they reported what they saw, even though it was exactly the way the Lord said it was. They reported based on their feelings of fear and unbelief. And they conveyed that message to the whole congregation. Look at chapter 14 and verse 1. These men have come back and they've given their report. And Joshua and Caleb have tried to give their report. They've tried to tell these people, do not rebel against the voice of the Lord. Don't be fearful. Don't be afraid of the people of the land. The Lord has given us this land and we need to go in and we need to possess it. But notice what happens in chapter 14 and verse 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. They're in their fear. They're being governed by their emotions and their feelings. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, "Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt. Or would God we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt?" And they said one to another, "Let us make a captain and let us return to Egypt." There are the hands of Esau. The emotions, the feelings of unbelief. And the result is rebellion against the voice of the Lord. And the consequences of hearing the voice of the Lord, but feeling and giving into the hands of Esau, are there in verse 28 of chapter 14, where the Lord says, "Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. After the number of the days in which ye search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me. In this wilderness they shall be consumed, and there they shall die." They're listening, they're ignoring the voice of the Lord. And they're following and feeling the emotions of the hands of Esau bring these consequences to their lives. How many believers tonight are wandering in the spiritual wilderness? How many believers are out tonight wandering in the spiritual wilderness because they despised and they rejected the voice of the Lord? And instead of the voice of the Lord, they chose the hands of Esau. And they live in fear. And they live in unbelief. And they live in rebellion. Turn over now to Numbers chapter 20. Numbers chapter 20. Here in Numbers chapter 20, the children of Israel are in the desert of Zin. And the situation here is just like we find in Exodus chapter 17, when the children of Israel, they had not long been out of Egypt, when they came to a place called Rephidim. And Exodus 17:1 says, "And there was no water for the people to drink." Verse 2 here says, "And there was no water for the congregation." And here in Zin, as in Rephidim, the people chode. They contended, they complained to Moses. He was the physical object of their chiding and complaining. But their real contention and their real complaint was with God. Numbers 11 in verse 1 says, "And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it." I need to remember that. I need to remember that because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And when I complain today, it still displeases Him. And He still hears every word of it. Now in Exodus 17, the Lord's remedy for the fact that there was no water, His instructions to Moses were to take the elders of Israel and to take His rod. And the Lord said, "I will stand before thee upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it that the people may drink." And that's what Moses did. And the water came out of the rock. And the people were able to drink, and their animals were able to drink. Now, what happened there in Exodus 17 is not just an isolated event in the history of Israel. All these things happened unto them for in samples, Paul tells us. It's a type. It's prophecy in picture form. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:4 about the spiritual rock that followed them, that followed the children of Israel. And he says that rock was Christ. And so Moses taking his rod and smiting the rock was the message of the cross of Calvary. It was the message of the time when God the Father would take the rod of His judgment and He would smite the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, because He was bearing our sins in His own body on the tree. And out of the rock that was smitten would come the water of life. Isaiah 55 in verse 1 says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy without money and without price." One of the very last verses in the Bible, Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17 says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will," those wonderful, wonderful words, "let him take the water of life freely." The reason that we can come to the waters and buy without money and without price, the reason that whosoever will can come and take the water of life freely, is because the price has been paid. The rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, has been smitten. This man, we read in the book of Hebrews, this man, the man Christ Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. That is the picture in Exodus chapter 17 of the singular smiting of the rock. And so when we come to Numbers chapter 20, it's a different place. They aren't at Rephidim. They're in the wilderness or the desert of Zin. It's a different place, but it's the same circumstances. You know, location does not change our nature, does it? Nature, our nature is not changed by our location. So many times people think, you know, if I could just get away from here, If I could just get away from here, oh, how much better my life would be. Folks, that's deception. Your life's not going to be better in another location because guess what? You're taking your old life with you. You're going. And you're the problem. I'm the problem. And so, it's a different place, but it's the same circumstances. The people are doing exactly what they did in Rephidim. They're complaining against the Lord and against Moses because they have no water. And so the Lord tells Moses, if you look at verse 8, take the rod and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes. And it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. God says, speak ye unto the rock, and it shall give forth his water. That wording is interesting. Not its water. His water. And I think the Spirit of God wrote it that way to underscore in our minds the truth that the Apostle Paul tells us. The spiritual rock that followed them was a person. That rock was Christ. It's His water that's going to come forth out of the rock. Salvation is of the Lord. But we want to notice in particular the word speak. The Lord told Moses to speak unto the rock. Why? Because the rock had already been smitten once. 1 Peter 3:18 says, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And because the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, because his body has been smitten for our sins once for all, now all that we have to do to be saved is speak unto the rock. Romans 10 and verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 12 says, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. And then we come to the 13th verse of Romans chapter 10, a verse that we've heard so many times. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The rock has been smitten. And all that is necessary now is to speak unto the rock, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And he'll save us. Brings up a question. Have you spoken to the rock? Have you spoken to the rock? Have you called upon the name of the Lord and been saved? If you haven't, right now, tonight, right where you are, you can speak unto the rock. And he'll save you. And he'll give you the gift of eternal life. And so these words in verse 8 are the voice of the Lord. And Moses and Aaron hear it plainly. There's no mistaking it. But now look at verse 9. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. The voice is the voice of the Lord. Speak ye unto the rock, But the hands are the hands of Esau. And Moses felt the hands of Esau. Psalm 106 and verse 33, the 106th Psalm is one of the, what we might call one of the history Psalms of the nation of Israel. And Psalm 106 and verse 33 tells us that these people, the children of Israel, provoked his spirit. They provoked Moses' spirit. And the emotion and the feeling that came forth from his provoked spirit was anger. Anger. You can hear it in his words. And you can see it in his actions. Hear now, ye rebels. Must we fetch you water out of this rock? You can hear the anger in his voice, and then you can see the anger in his action as he takes his rod, and he doesn't speak to the rock, but he smites the rock twice. You know, it's interesting, when the Lord called Moses, Moses told the Lord, I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord told Moses, I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. That is the voice of the Lord. But when we feel the hands of Esau, and we allow our emotions and our feelings to be provoked, Our slow tongue can send forth speech about as fast as a serpent can stick out his tongue. And the analogy to the serpent is intended there. And in our emotions and in our feelings, in our anger, we'll speak unadvisedly with our lips. That's what Moses did. It's what the rest of Psalm 106 and verse 33 says. They provoked his spirit and he spoke unadvisedly with his lips. And that can cost us our ministry. Look at verse 12. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. The seriousness of what Moses did. And think about who Moses is. We read in Deuteronomy chapter 34, in verse 10, there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Whom the Lord knew face to face. Moses had a relationship with the Lord like no one else in the Old Testament. But I'll tell you something. No, we like to say in this country, although it certainly seems to be a thing of the past, that no man or woman is above the law. Folks, no man, no woman is above the Word of God. No, not one. The seriousness of what Moses did is that in a moment of anger, in a moment of emotion, in a moment of being governed by his feelings, he misrepresented the message of the gospel. The rock was to be smitten once and then spoken to. That is God's order of salvation. That is the everlasting gospel. And Moses misrepresented that message by striking the rock twice because his emotions and his feelings, as expressed in his words and his actions, were out of control. What a confusion he was to these people. What about us? Do we, who name the name of Christ, would we ever do anything like that? Do we ever misrepresent the God of glory? Do we ever misrepresent the message of this book? Do we ever misrepresent His person and His work, His love for the people around us, for the people of this world? Do we ever misrepresent Him by our emotions and our feelings as expressed by our words and our actions, by speaking unadvisedly with our lips? We do every time we do what Isaac did. The voice is the voice of God, but the hands are the hands of Esau. We do every time that we ignore the voice of God and we go and we speak and we act by the hands of Esau. And we speak and act according to our emotions and according to our feelings. And it can cost us our ministry. It can cost us our testimony. And it could cost us our life. Because there is a sin unto death. Look over at Deuteronomy chapter 34. We mentioned a verse there just a minute ago. But look over at Deuteronomy chapter 34. Verse 1. And Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo to the top of Pisgah, that is over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land. And then the Lord gives us the detail of the land that he showed him. Verse 4. And the Lord said unto him, this is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I've caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab over against Beth Peor. But no man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. The seventh verse is telling us that there was nothing wrong with Moses. There was nothing wrong with Moses. His eye was not dim. He could see just as good as he could when he was 20 years old. His natural force was not abated. The vigor, that's one of the meanings of these words, natural force. The vigor, the ability, the alertness and ability of his mind and the strength of his body were not abated. That word abated means to depart, to disappear. As you and I get older, our natural force begins to abate. It begins to depart from us. It begins to disappear. None of those things in mind or body or strength had departed or disappeared from Moses. Another meaning of these words, natural force, is an interesting one. It's moisture. Moisture. That means that Moses, as John Gill points out, did not look withered and wrinkled. Now, to put that in the language of this day, he didn't have any crepey skin on his body. His skin was just as smooth as it was when he was a young man. He looked like a young man in the prime of his life. And the Lord put verse 7 here in the book so that there would be no question in our minds as to why Moses died. He died because of his disobedience. And what was his disobedience? Well, I suggest to you that it was the same as Isaac's. The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. There's those 13 words again. Moses' sin is that he chose the emotions and the feelings of the hands of Esau over the voice of God. There are no more important words in all the scriptures. I don't believe that there are for God's people than those words that we find in Genesis 27 and verse 22. The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And the application of those words to you and me, the voice is the voice of God, but the hands are the hands of Esau. How are we living? How are we living? That's the point of these messages, however many of them there are. Are we living by the voice of God or by the hands of Esau? Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for our time together tonight. We thank you for the wonders of this book and how you pack such a message into just 13 words. We pray that we would not miss that message. And we pray that we would take those 13 words and allow you to expose the rebellion in our life, the places where we are ignoring your voice and going by our feelings and our emotions. And we pray these things in Jesus' name.